Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Kuf Gimel, we notice a Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance to the outside margin where we see our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is a topic and Mivneh a structural note. At times we combine the two, as we do over here, into one note. We feature a double underline with dots in it. This is a form that will appear in the Mishnah. That's one of our many series markings. We have written on our note, Dugmois, examples, shel noder b'mincha shelo kadin, one who accepts a vow to bring a meal offering, but in an improper way. Ubesoifa shodovor, and at the end of matters, tsarech lahavi kadin, he will nevertheless have to bring properly. So let's learn the Mishnah. Ha'oimer, one who says, Hare olai mincha, min hasoirim. He declares that he wants to bring a meal offering from barley. Minochos, we have to note, are from wheat, with two exceptions, but those exceptions are not in the realm of voluntary offerings, and here we're describing a voluntary meal offering. Voluntary meal offerings are exclusively from wheat. Here he declares that he wants to bring one from barley. The result of this vow is Yovi Minachitim. He has to bring wheat. Let us say he says Kemach, namely Hare Olai Mincha Min HaKemach. The result is Yovi Soilis. Kemach is not the quality of flour that's demanded for a mincha, rather soles is. There are different qualities of flour. Soles is the necessary type. And you see here, even though he accepted upon himself to bring a mincha from kemach, the result is he has to bring soles. He declares, beloy shemen ubelov lavona, that he wants to bring a voluntary meal offering. However, he stipulates, without oil and without Lavona spice. That's improper. What is the result? Yovi shemen ulavona. He has to bring the proper way. He accepts upon himself an inaccurate quantity. He says a chatzi isoron. And the result is Yovi isoron shalom. He has to bring the full isoron. Isoron umechza. He declares that he wants to bring a meal offering containing an isoron and a half. 1.5 isoron. There is no such mincha quantity, and therefore Yovi Shnayim, he has to bring 2. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon exempts Shelo Hisnadev Kederech HaMisnadev, because he did not vow according to the normal way of vow takers with regard to meal offerings. The Gemara asks, why does he have to bring anything? Amai Neder Upischo Imohu. When he accepted upon himself to bring a mincha, he indicated that he was willing to bring a vow offering. When he then said something that's contrary to the halacha, all of the examples that we saw in the Mishnah with the double underlined marking are all examples of what one is not supposed to do. Why not view that as the Pesach? The Pesach is the undoing. When one takes a vow and needs to undo it, he approaches a sage, a Talmud Chochem, and he expresses he describes the circumstances under which he wouldn't have taken the vow. That's called a Pesach, the undoing, we'll say, in very brief terms. So why don't we have an example of something that appears initially to be a vow and it's undoing? And therefore, why is he chayav anything? Omar Chizkiyah. You notice Chizkiyah is underlined and he's assigned a number 1. A few lines later, you'll see an underlined Rabbi Yochanan with a number 2. Before we go on, let's glance in the outside margin. We see a Mivneh heading in which we feature diamonds. The diamonds will highlight the names Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In this piece of Gemara, we will see a Machlokes, Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, Kemi Lahamid HaMishnah, according to whom are we to set up our Mishnah. So in order to explain our Mishnah, why is it that the vow is binding, even though it's accompanied with and we'll call it undoing the incorrect clause that accompanies his initial vow. So Chizkiya says, Ha money Beis Shammai. This Mishnah is in conformity to the approach of Beis Shammai. The Omar, the Amri, they say, Tfois Loshon Rishon, that you literally grab the first expression. This is illustrated in the following Tanaic source, Disnan. A person accepts upon himself Nazirus. Nazirus is a situation where, according to the Torah, one abstains from grapes and grape products, wine, etc., and from haircuts and being metamele mesim, and exposing himself to the dead. In this source, we see a person declares Hareini Nazir. He declares himself to be a Nazir, and then he says, Min hagrogros u min advela, from figs, from dried figs, and from pressed dates. Well, standard Nazirus is not from figs and dates. A Nazir is totally entitled to eat figs and dates. So what's he saying? So Beis Shammai Omrim Nazir. Beis Shammai says this person is bound to accept Nazirus, because his opening statement was Hareini Nazir. Beis Hillel Omrim Eino Nazir. Beis Hillel says he is not bound. This person is rejecting his opening comment, according to Beis Hillel. Looking at our Mishnah, a person said Hare Olai Mincha. That's the opening. That's parallel to the expression Hareini Nazir. Then when he goes on to say Min HaSoirim, that's parallel to saying Min HaGrogros. So just like Beis Shammai says, even though he went on to say the concluding clause, which was of no significance, the opening clause is what determines matters. So too in our Mishnah, he said Hare Olai Mincha, that's it. He's locked in. That's called Tfois Loshon Rishon. That which he says afterwards is of no consequence. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu Temo Beis Hillel. Our Mishnah, which binds the individual to bringing a real mincha, can be learned according to Beis Hillel as well. Ah, but you'll say that Beis Hillel, in the case of Nazir, he didn't say you focus on the opening comment. The answer is, our Mishnah is under the following circumstances. Be'omer, where the person who, after saying that he is going to bring a mincha of Saorim, he's told, hey, but you know, there is no such thing as a mincha, voluntary mincha of Saorim. So the original speaker says, Ilu hoyisi yodea she'ein nodrin kach, lo hoyisi noder kach elo kach. Had I known that one does not accept upon himself a mincha from Saorim, I wouldn't have said from Saorim, I would have said from Chitim, I would have said the proper thing. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is different than the case of Nazirus. In the case of Nazirus, everyone knows very clearly that Nazirus is from grapes. So that when he goes on to say something else, he, according to Beis Hillel, he's clearly undoing what he originally said. However, in our Mishnah, the examples of our Mishnah are things that one could easily make a mistake about. And he really did intend to bring a korban mincha, proper korban mincha. He thought he was saying something that would be binding. He was told what he said is inaccurate, so he then expresses his interest to bring the correct thing. That is why, according to Beis Hillel, the examples in the Mishnah are binding. He simply made a mistake in what he said, and we have someone that was actually willing to bring and interested in bringing a real Korban Mincha. As the Gemara continues, we have a very unusual structure, very interesting phenomenon happens in this Gemara. We see a house marking. This house marking is going to highlight the names that we just had above, Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. We've noted this on the outside margin. under our Mivneh heading, you can see a house form, and they highlight Memros Shel Chizkiya Rabbi Yochanan. But these comments are, we continue writing, She'enon to'amois l'shitasam b'hamodas ha-mishnah. They will make comments, and the comments they make won't correspond, won't follow from that which they said originally in this Gemara. In other words, Chizkiya opened up this Gemara explaining that our Mishnah was according to Beis Shammai. He's going to make a comment right now which doesn't really conform to that. Later, Rabbi Yochanan will make a comment, and Rabbi Yochanan's comment will not really conform to the way he set up the Mishnah, namely according to Beis Hillel. And in addition to these house markings, we also employ a double underline with a design in it, which you can see in the outside margin, Michdi, Lishmaitseh. That's missing words because you have both Chizkiya, you have the Gemara asking on Chizkiya, where it says Michdi Chizkiya Keman Omer Lishmaitseh. And later, very similarly, the Gemara says Michdi Rabbi Yochanan Keman Omer Lishmaitseh. And we've written in our note, HaGemara Makshe Al Memros Hanal, Shehen Lo To'amos Le'emdosam HaRishoni. The Gemara will ask on the comments they make, each one, Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan respectively, how they don't seem to jive with what they said originally. Of course, this is at this point a bit unclear. We have to see how to apply this practically. Turning back to the Gemara. Omar Chizkiya. Loi shanu elo the din that he is chayev to bring a mincha from wheat is now qualified. He says this is true only if he said the Omar mincha min hasoirim. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Avol Omar mincha min ho adoshim loi. If he said hare olai lohovi mincha min ho adoshim, adoshim sometimes are translated as lentils. Lo, then he does not have to bring a mincha. He doesn't bring a mincha from wheat. Let's go over this point again. Chizkiya says right now that the din of the Mishnah, that when someone accepted upon himself a mincha and then said something incorrectly afterwards, this is true only if that which he said incorrectly was soirim. But if he said something like adoshim, then he would not be bound. The Gemara asks, Michti, Chizkiya keman omar l'shmaitzei. Chizkiya, according to whom did he say his original teaching? K'Bei Shammai. He said that the Mishnah was according to Beis Shammai. In other words, the person who opened up with an expression of accepting a vow of a mincha, whatever he said afterwards is of no concern. That was Beis Shammai's approach. Beis Shammai mishum tfos loshon rishon hu. Beis Shammai was based on you grab the first expression. In other words, first expression is binding. And if that be the case, mali min hasoirim, mali min hadoshim, what difference does it make what follows? In other words, once a person says harei olai mincha, who cares if he says min hasoirim, min hadoshim? Tfos loshon rishon says focus on the opening statement. The opening statement was harei olai mincha, and he's bound to bring a proper kosher mincha. Why then over here is Chizkiya saying, well, it all depends. If you are a Beis Shammai adherent, then it doesn't depend. It's across the boards. Once you say Arei Olai Mincha, you are bound. The Gemara answers, Hodar Bei. Chizkiya retracts from setting up the Mishnah like Beis Shammai. In other words, Chizkiya right now is of the opinion that the Mishnah is according to Beis Hillel. And the way to understand the Mishnah then is having to do with might you have made a mistake? So if you had said Harei Olai Mincha Min Hasorim, it's reasonable to make a mistake between wheat and barley. They're very similar, and in fact there are menachas that come from barley. It's a reasonable type mistake. And therefore, it's quite likely the person would say, oh, had I known that you don't say from Sorim, then I would have said from Chitim. In other words, his comment of "I want to bring from Sorim" was the expression of someone who was really interested in bringing a mincha, and when he discovers that he made a mistake, he still will be bound. However, when it comes to Adoshim, a person is never confuses. He knows that Adoshim is totally out of the realm. It's a type of product that's never brought as a mincha, and it's not something someone would make a mistake about. Therefore, if he opens up as by saying, "I want to bring a mincha," and then he says, "from Adoshim," it's clear that he's retracting and he's not interested in bringing anything. The Gemara now asks, "Umay taima hadar bei?" What is the reason that Chizkiah backed out? "Omar Rava masnisen kishisei." The language of the Mishnah poses a difficulty in trying to say that the Mishnah would be like Beis Shammai, because if the Mishnah was like Beis Shammai, that it was simply a tfos lashon rishon situation, my iria detoni mincha min asorim. What causes the Mishnah to speak about a mincha from barley, listening min adoshim? Use an example like that, a more far-reaching example, where a person says hare alai mincha min adoshim, and then say, well, just tfos lashon rishon, and he's bound, even though he said something so ridiculous, so far-fetched. But the Mishnah didn't use that example. The Mishnah used a very specific example of, I want to bring a mincha from barley. Eloshma mino. So this shows clearly that the explanation of the Mishnah is mishum detoihu, because of people making a mistake. People who really want to bring a proper mincha and simply said something that is of a mistaken nature. When it comes to the parameters of making a mistake, that they fall with the example of Saurim falls within such parameters, whereas a mistake like Adoshim is no one would make such a mistake, and therefore if he would have said Minho Adoshim, he wouldn't be bound at all. So once again, Chizkiah sees in the choice of the Mishnah, the choice of the example of something incorrect, namely of Min HaSorim, that the explanation of the Mishnah is based on the idea of someone who is really serious about bringing a mincha, making a mistake, and expressing his interest in bringing an accurate type vow, an accurate mincha. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, bear in mind, Rabbi Yochanan is now going to say something that is on the surface doesn't appear to be consistent with what he said earlier. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu min ha'adoshim. Rabbi Yochanan says that if a person said harei alai mincha min ha'adoshim, he will have to bring from chitin. Mechti. Well, let's analyze. Rabbi Yochanan kaman omer l'shmaitzei. Rabbi Yochanan, in explaining the Mishnah, how did he originally set up the Mishnah? Kebeis Hillel. He set it up in accordance to Beis Hillel. He set it up like Beis Hillel. We saw Beis Hillel in the case of Nozir. There, he said something that's ridiculous. Therefore, he's not bound. Only when you say something that's within the realm of possibility, within the realm of possible mistake, then you are bound. So, Rabbi Yochanan right now is saying that even if you said something that's ridiculous, you're bound. So we're asking, hey, Rabbi Yochanan, he originally said his teaching according to Beis Hillel, u Beis Hillel mishum detoihu. Beis Hillel was based on the possibility of making a mistake. B'sa'orim toi, b'adoshim lo toi. An example like barley, someone would make a mistake. An example like adoshim, like lentils, no one would make a mistake. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan over here, when he says afilu min adoshim, that you will be bound, he's not expressing his own opinion. Rabbi Yochanan here has a totally different agenda. Rabbi Yochanan at this point is turning to Chizkiah and asking Chizkiah, why did you back off your original stance? In other words, I, Rabbi Yochanan, don't subscribe to your approach. However, if you want to back off of what you originally said, you should be on good solid ground for wanting to back out. But your backing out was because of the Mishnah's example, that's not enough reason to change your original opinion. Let's now see this in the Gemara. We also demonstrate through our markings that we have a long answer. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's a tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. This indicates a teretz, and that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the answer. The Gemara says, L'dvarav d'chizkiyah ka'omar lei. Rabbi Yochanan is addressing Chizkiyah on his terms. At my time, hadris boch. Why is it that you backed out from setting up the Mishnah like Beis Shammai? Mishum dolokotoni min ha'adoshim. It is because the Mishnah did not use min ha'adoshim as an example. And we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, which is parallel to the arrow above it, indicating where Chizkiyah had backed out. So Rav Yochanan is saying, it's because the Mishnah didn't use the example of Min Adoshim that you feel the Mishnah is to be learned like Beis Hillel. I'll tell you something, he says, Dilma lo mi baya komar. Maybe the structure or the style of the Mishnah is in the lo mi baya fashion. Lo mi baya means, I don't have to tell you. In other words, that which is not printed in the Mishnah is simply because it doesn't even need to say that. Certain things that are obvious don't need to be said. The Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan now explains, lo mi baya min ha'adoshim. I don't have to tell you about that. If someone said, harel emincha min ha'adoshim, you could say he is trying to back out. The speaker is trying to back out. If he says Harei Alai Mincha, then he says Min Adoshim. It's obvious that he's trying to back out. And well, we don't let you back out. Utfos Loshon Rishon. We don't let someone who's trying to back out. Elo Afilu Min Hasoyrim Nami. But even someone who says Harei Alai Mincha Min Hasoyrim. De'ika lemeimar mita hu dekotoi. This person might be making a mistake. One could say this is a person who was serious in his original comment. He was serious in wanting to bring a mincha of Sorim. And in fact, there are minchas of Sorim. They just don't happen to be voluntary. But it's something that does exist. And this person may be of the mindset that if I eventually have to bring from a chitam, then I'm not interested in taking this neder and making this vow whatsoever. Afilu hachi, even so, the Mishnah's point here is to tell us a novel point, and that even someone like this, we say. Tfos Loshen Rishon. The fact that you opened up with Min HaMincha, that binds you. Turning to Amud Beis, Omar Ziri, Loi Shanu, the din of Tfos Loshen Rishon, Loi Shanu, that was taught only Elo de Omar Mincha, where he said, Hare Olai Mincha, and he used the word Mincha, Avol. Lo Omar Mincha Loi. Rashi has two examples. We're going to cite the second example in our explanation right now. And it's the case would be where he said, Hare Olai Min Hasorim. If a person said something like that, upon me is to bring from barley, then we don't say, and we say he is not bound. He's not bound to anything. Yosef Rav Nachman Vekomar Lo Lahosh Maitza. Rav Nachman was seated and he said over this teaching, and Rava was present and when he heard this, and Rava raises objections. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us look at the outside margin where we have a Noseya topic heading, Dino Shel Ze'iri, the law of Ze'iri, or the teaching of Ze'iri, Ha D'Tvoi Sloshen Rishon Hainu Davko Im Omar Mincha. The idea that one would be bound based on his opening clause is provided he used the word mincha. Avol omar harei alai sorim b'li lahazkir mincha lav klum komar. If he simply said upon me are barley, and without using the word mincha, then he has said nothing. under our Mivneh note, you already have noticed that that triangles appear in the Gemara. The role of these triangles are explained under the Mivneh heading, where you see a triangle in the outside margin, Ma'akav in parentheses. Ma'akav indicates that this is an attempt to keep track of the give and take nature of the Gemara. So with the triangle point facing up, Kushyos al Hanal, these represent questions on that which was taught under our Nosei, and the flipped over triangle point facing down, Tshuvos, represent responses. The first several questions are simply quotes from the Mishnah that taught he is bound, even though he doesn't use the word mincha. So, Esve Rava L'Rav Nachman, Kemach, Yavi Solis. This is a direct quote from the Mishnah. The superficial reading of the Mishnah is, if a person said Kemach, then he's bound to bring Solis. He didn't say Mincha. The Lav the lo Omar Mincha, is it not so that he did not use the word Mincha, and nevertheless he is chayev to bring Solis? And this is based on the idea that a person doesn't say something for nothing, so that if a person would have said Hare Olai Kemach, and he doesn't say something for nothing, so he is bound to bring something proper, the Solis. Loi, that's not the case. The Omar Mincha, the Mishnah is simply abbreviated, but when it says Kemach, the person really said Hare Olai Mincha Min HaKemach. Question: Beloi Shemenu Levona, Yavi Shemenu Levona. Once again, a quote from the Mishnah. It appears that he said, I want to bring without oil and Levona, and yet he's bound to bring Shemen Levona, my lav, the lo, Omar Mincha. Is it not so that he did not use the word Mincha? And that would again be a kasha on what Ziri taught. The Gemara answers the same answer, loy, the Omar Mincha. Again, a question of the same nature. Chatzi Isaron, Yavi Isaron Sholem. My lav, the lo Omar Mincha, lo, the Omar Mincha. Ihachi Emosefa. If this be the case, that he is saying Mincha throughout the Mishnah, the following also appears in the Mishnah. It says, Isaron Umechza, Yavi Shnayim. But we are now going to ask, Kevon di Omar Mincha, since you're saying that the Mishnah is speaking in each example of Hare Olai Mincha, and in this case, Hare Olai Mincha Isaron Umechza. Well, once he says the word Mincha, Ichayiv Le B'Isaron, he is bound to bring the proper amount. Ki Omar Chatzi Isaron Lo Klum Komar. When he goes on to say the Mechza, It's a disjointed comment and should be of no consequence. Once again, if the Mishnah is saying Hare Olai Mincha Isaron, that's a complete statement. That's a complete vow. The additional Umechza is disconnected and should be of absolutely no consequence. And yet the Mishnah says he has to bring two Isronos. Lo tzricha, the Mishnah is necessary under the following circumstances. The Omar, the case really is, he said, Hare olai mincha chatzi isaron ve'isaron. The cave of the Omar, mincha ichayiv lei bisaron. Once he says the word mincha, he is bound to bring an isaron. Ki Omar chatzi isaron Veloi klum ko'omar. The chatzi isaron is of no consequence. Ki hodamar isaron maisi isaron achrino. And then when he says the second isaron that followed the chatzi isaron, that is of consequence. That's meaningful, and therefore he has to bring two isronos. Question: Ihochi Rabbi Shimon poter shelo hisnadev kederach hamisnadvin. Rabbi Shimon holds that in our Mishnah the person is exempt because he didn't vow like normal people, like normal vows. Amai, why are you saying that he is totally exempt? Is this not kederach hamisnadvin? Omar Rava, Rabbi Shimon b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Omra. Rabbi Shimon follows the Rabbi Yossi approach to these matters, the Omar Af Bigmar Dvorov Odom Matpis. Or there's another girsa that Rashi has, is Nitpas. Namely, a person is bound based on all of his words. We don't look at just isolated phrases of what he said, but we look at the entire statement. In looking at the Rashi, Hochi Garsin, an Af Bigmar Dvor of Odom Nitpas, Rashi says, the Lo Az Linun Boser Loshen Rishon Luchudei, in order to determine the quality of the vow or the level of bindingness of the vow, is we don't look at simply the opening comment, Velo Boser Achron Luchudei, nor do we emphasize the closing comment, Elo Boser Kulhu, we take into consideration the entire comment. This speaker who said Mincha, a half Yisoron and an Yisoron, Pirushe Kemeforesh, he is explaining himself, Mincha Shel Chatz Yisoron V'Yisoron. Well, that is an odd, that's odd. V'hainu Shelo Kederach HaMisnadvin. That's what we mean by something that's not Kederach, not in conformity with the usual way of vow takers. And as a result of that, Reb Shimon exempts the Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let's glance at the topic heading in the outside margin of the Nosei. Shi'ur ha'ilyoin shel mincha shemevi bikli echad, the maximum amount of flour that a person can bring in one vessel is 60 isaron velo yoiser, and not more than 60 isaron. But Mishnah muva shnei ta'omim lahanal. The Mishnah will present two reasons for this number, for this quantity. It may be pointed out already ahead of time that at the opening section of the Gemara we have a large section that's in a frame. The Gemara itself doesn't use the standard introductory Tanaic terms like you would have Tonu Rabbonon or Tanan or Tanya, but rather the Gemara simply opens up immediately into a discussion that contains Tanoim. We've decided to put the entire section in a frame because it is a Tanaic discussion. It may also be pointed out that the opening section in the frame very much parallels the Gemara, the Mishnah itself, in a slightly more elaborate form. So as we learn the Mishnah, bear in mind, we will then be experiencing a type of review of this in the opening section of Gemara. The Mishnah, HaMisnadev, Misnadev Odom Mincha Shel Shishim Isaron, a person can volunteer a mincha of 60 isaron, umevi bekli echon, and bring all 60 in one vessel. Bearing in mind that the basic mincha is, a person says harei alai mincha, he's expected to bring one isaron. If he wants to bring a large mincha, he may. He can bring one as much as he likes, but if he's interested in bringing it in one vessel, he can bring up till 60 isaron in one vessel. Im omar harei alai shishim ve'echod, mevi shishim bekli echod, ve'echod bekli echod. If, however, he says, I want to bring a mincha of 61 isaron, then he'll have to bring 60 in one vessel and one, the balance, in a second vessel. Shekein motzinu, shatzibur mevi biyom tov harishon shelchag shechal yos b'shabes, shishim ve'echod. We have found that there's a communal public mincha offering that is brought on the first day of Chag. Chag is Sukkot, and the amount of menachos that are brought on the first day of Sukkot amount to 61 isaron. As a result of that, dayo layochid shu pochos min atzibur echad. It would figure then the individual, he is on a slightly lower level, if you will, and therefore, if you find the public bringing 61 isaron, so then the private individual, when he brings a large mincha, it will be no more than 60. It'll be one less than the tzibur. Omar Rabbi Shimon. You can see we have a Roman numeral number 2. This represents a second approach to the number 60. The first approach was simply to signify that the individual is less than the public. Rabbi Shimon responds, Omar Rabbi Shimon Valo. How can you compare the cases? Valo Elu Leporim, Velu Lekvosim. The 61 Isaron that the public brings is really made up of many different menachos, some that accompany the cow offerings that are brought on the first day of Sukkot, and some of them that accompany the sheep offering, the Einom Nivlolim Ze Im Ze. They are not mixed with one another. Elo. And Rashi goes through the statistics, and he points out that as far as the Purim are concerned, there are 13 meal offerings, each one having 3 Isaron. 3 times 13 is 39 Isaron that are associated with the cow offerings. There are 14 meal offerings associated with Kvosim, and each Keves, there is 1 Isaron that's brought, so that would account for 14 Isronos. And there are more and more. You can look in the Rashi and you'll see how we've in fact written in the numbers. But Reb Shimon is pointing out that the 61 Isaron is a sum total of small, much smaller menachos that are brought on Sukkis. What we are talking about is a person who voluntarily brings a singular large mincha. Elo, the Mishnah goes on, Elo ad shishim yicholim liboleo. The significance of the number 60 is that up till 60 saron, you can have an even mixture with the lug of oil that accompanies a voluntary mincha offering. If you have more than that, the dry liquid ratio will be so great that the small amount of liquid, the oil, won't be able to mix with that large amount of dry offering, dry, the flour section. Omru lo, the Rabbanan, hearing Rabbi Shimon's explanation, respond with wonderment. Shishim nivlolim v'shishim echor ein nivlolim. What, 60 do get mixed up, but 61 don't. Omar Lohem, Rabbi Shimon responds, Kol Midos Chachomim Kain. All measures and statistics that the Chachomim speak about are like this. And now an example. Bar Aboyim Sa'a Hu Tovel. A mikveh is to be made of 40 saw. This is a measure. In this case, it turns out to be a measure of water that in 40 saw a person will successfully immerse himself. And you always find this is the quantity, the shiur, the amount needed for amount of water needed for a mikvah. It's always stated as 40 saw. Ubarboyim saw choser kurtov, but 40 saw minus a drop. Eino yochol litbolbam. If it's 39.99 saw, it won't be effective. It has to be 40. So there's a cutoff point. Likewise, with regard to the mincha and the ability of it to mix with the oil, 60 will mix. 61 will not mix. The Gemara shoyel she'elo lamalim Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. A question was raised in front of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Minayin lo'ima re'alai. Shishim ve'echod, maybe shishim b'kli echod, v'echod b'kli echod. From where do we know that if a person says that he wants to bring a mincha of 61 isaron, that it's broken down like this, 60 in one vessel and 1 in another vessel? Posach Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Rosh Hamadaber b'chol mokoyim v'omar. Rabbi Yehuda opened, and he is given the title of Rosh Hamadabrim, the head of the speakers, wherever he is. In other words, wherever a group of rabbis appear together, and Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is amongst them, he will be the first speaker. How he got that title is based on a story that's featured in Maseches Shabbos. But for our purposes, we're going to continue in the Gemara. So he opened the Omar and said, Shekein motzinu tzibur mevien biyom dov harishon shel chag shechal yois b'shabes shishim v'echad. the public on the first day of Sukkot that falls out on a Shabbos will end up bringing 61 isaron worth of menachas. It is sufficient for the individual to be one less than the public. So if the public is bringing 61, the individual will bring 60. Amar le Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, but how can you compare the case of the public menachas with the case of the private individual vowing to bring 61? Valo, in the case of the public, Vahalo elu porim the elim the elu kvasim, the minochas are brought to accompany different animals. It's not one large mincha of 61 isaron. It's many small, much smaller minochas that are associated with the different animals, and there are quite a few animals that are brought on the first day of Sukkot that falls out on a Shabbos. Some of the minochas are for the porim, for the cow. Some are for the ram. Some are for the sheep. Elu bli losen ova, elu bli losen raka. Some have a drier type batter. Bli losen, the mixing of the flour with the oil. The oil flour ratio is such that there is a greater amount of flour than oil, than as opposed to the others, which are elu bli losen raka. There are some types of menachas, for example, that which comes along with the sheep offering, where the oil flour ratio is such that there is a greater amount of liquid per isaron. Elu b'losin shachris ve'elu b'losin ben arbayim. Some of the menachas are brought in the morning and some are brought in the afternoon. The ein nivlolin mizeh alzeh, they're not mixed together. Amru lo, so the those who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, then there's another Girsa Omar Lo, which would be more accurate, because Rabbi Shimon was addressing Rabbi Yudah Barbeloi. So Omar Loi Emor Ata. So Rabbi Yudah says, Rabbi Shimon, so if you don't like what I said, so you say your reason. Omar Lahem Harehu Omer V'chol Mincha Blulo B'Shemen V'Chareva. That's a pasuk. Kvar omro tero havei mincha shiyecholo libo leil. The dark drosha of Reb Shimon on this posik is, bring a mincha that is capable of being mixed. And when you have 60 isaron of flour, and you have one lug of oil, which is the one lug is the standard amount one brings with a voluntary meal offering, the one lug gets mixed up with the 60 isaron, not with 61. Omar le, so Rabbi Yehuda Rav Loi says back, b'shishin nivlolin, b'shishin ve'echad, ein nivlolin. In 60 there's an even mixture, but in 61 there isn't. In other words, with 61 there's too much flour content so as to prevent the oil from reaching each grain of flour. Omar lo, Rabbi Shimon says back, well, kol midas chachamim kein hu. This is characteristic of all measures the chachamim assign to different matters. And here, as opposed to the Mishnah, we have more examples. We have three examples of exactness of statistics, quantities that the Chachamim assigned to different halachas. The first example is what we saw in the Mishnah. Barboim saw hu tovel, barboim saw chaser kurtav, eno yochol lidbol. Kebetzo metama tumas oichlin, a betzo is an egg quantity of food that can convey ritual impurity associated with food to other food items. Kebeitza chaser shumshum ein metame tumas oichlin. If you have a food quantity, an amount of food that's a little bit less than a complete egg's worth, the egg is an amount of shiur, quantity of food. So if you have an egg minus a sesame size quantity, meaning a little bit less than a shiur of a kebeitza, it won't metame tumas oichlin. A third example, shloisha al shloisha mitama medris. If you have a piece of fabric that measures 3 by 3 tefachim, that is mekabel tumas medris. Medris is the tumah that's associated with one of the four different types of tumas yotze megufos, like a nido, mitzura, zav, and zova. If they sit on something designed to be sat upon, the item that they sat upon becomes tumay medris, and that then can convey tumah to even people and vessels. So, in order to be something capable or a candidate for Tumas Medris, it has to measure 3 by 3 tefachim. And that's what this is saying. 3 by 3 tefachim metama medris. Shloshal shloshal choser nimo achas. If you have 3 by 3 minus one strand, eino metama medris. So you see from here that when the Chachamim speak about an amount, or they assign a quantity, it's exact. And they intend that amount and no less or and no more. The Gemara now asks, V'chi ein nivlolin mai have? Let us say the 61 is true. It's true that it doesn't come, it's too much dry to come into contact with that amount of liquid. But so what? V'hotnan. But we have a Mishnah that teaches imlo bolal kosher. In the case of a mincha preparation, when you add the oil to the flour, if you don't mix it, it nevertheless is still an acceptable mincha. So we see that the necessity of mixing isn't so central and so binding. Omar Rabbi Zera, Bezera explains, it all depends on the potential. Kol haro'i labila, if in potential it could be mixed up, ain bilo ma'keves bo, then the actual process of mixing is not binding. However, v'chol she'eino roi labila, if something in potential cannot be mixed, bilo ma'keves bo, then we say the need for it to be mixed is binding. And if in potential it can't be mixed, it therefore will fall out of bounds, and it would not be acceptable. Hence, 61 isaron with one lug of shemen in one vessel will not be acceptable. We have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that which follows is a new idea. In fact, that which follows is almost completely unrelated. However, and Rashi points out, since we were talking about quantities and that this is the way we saw the kach hi midas chachamim, that when the chachamim assign an amount, it's just that way. So we have another example of a shiur of a quantity. In this case, we will be dealing with what we have written in under our Nosei heading in the outside margin. We've written Shiur Dam Hayotze Min Avela, the amount of blood that exits from a dead animal, Shemetama Kinevela. What amount is it that will convey Tumas Nevela? A dead horse, for example, or a dead cow, if someone comes into contact with it or someone carries it around, they absorb Tumas Nevela. The same is true even if they carry around a kezias of this creature, a kezias, an olive quantity of dead horse meat or dead cow meat. This Gemara will be focusing on the quantity of blood coming from the carcass of a dead creature. Tosfos has another example. Another reason for why the following Gemara appears over here. Tosfos suggests because we had mentioned Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh Medabrim, Cholmokoim, we're going to bring a Maisa involving that same Rabbi Yehuda Barbaloi, in the upcoming Gemara. Turning to the Gemara, Omar of Bevai, Omar of Yeshua ben Levi, Maisa bepredo achas shall base Rebbe. There was an incident involving a mule from the house of Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi, not to be confused with Rebbe Yehuda Barbaloi, who was mentioned before. This is Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi, who was known to be the editor of the Mishnayos, who represented the end of the period of Tanoim. So an incident that took place involving his house, his household, his possessions, Shemesa, the Preda, died. The Shiru Chachomim es Domo Biravias, and the Chachomim measured the amount of blood that came forth from it to be a revius. In other words, it seems that some blood had come out of the carcass of this mule, and they made a calculation that if there is a revius that came out, that they should stay away from that as to trying to avoid the tumah that it would convey. Mosiv Rav Yitzchok Bar Bisna. Rav Yitzchok raises an objection from the following Tanaic source. Hayid Rabbi Yeshua ben Becerra al dam neveilois shehu tahor. They testified, they taught that the blood of dead creatures is not like its flesh, and therefore it is tahor. It's pure. It doesn't impart ritual impurity. V'yomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Becerra, ma'ase v'hayu nochrim aroidios la'aroyos b'istarios shel melech. They used to, Nochrin is a form of killing. They killed Arodios, the name of a type of animal, and they killed them for the lions in this for the lions of the king. It could be that it was part of some type of royal sport that they had involving lions in this period, which would probably be the Roman period of time. The Jews who came to the Beis Hamikdash on the holidays would actually wade through puddles of this blood up to their knees in blood. Velo amru lahem davar, and no one said anything. So you see that the blood from dead creatures does not impart tumah. If you're going aliyah seregel, you're going to go to the Beis Hamikdash, you're going to be very concerned in maintaining tahara. Apparently, the blood from these creatures does not impart any tumah. Ishtik. So Rav Bevai did not respond. Rav Bevai taught how even a revius of dam creates a tumah problem, a tumas nevela problem. And here we have this Tanaic source indicating that the dam presents no problem whatsoever. Omar le Rabbi Zrika. Rabbi Zrika turns to Rav Bevai and says, "My time alo koho." Why didn't you respond? Why did you just remain quiet? Omar Lei, Rav Bevai explains, and he shares some of his personal circumstances as to why he was unable to respond. Hechi ahader Lei, how can I possibly respond? The Omar of Chonan. Rav Chonan darshins the following pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk from the Teuchicha, from the curses in Sefer Devarim, and it describes people who lack financial security, and it appears in stages. And in our topic heading in the outside margin, we've written Dargos Beklola, stages in intensification. In fact, in intense increasing levels of curse, Hakshurim Leivados Beparnosa, that are associated with uncertainty when it comes to income. And as is known, many have experienced this when they suffer from income uncertainty. They are unable to concentrate on other matters. They're so preoccupied with how are they going to make ends meet that they can't think about other things. And Rav Bevai will be describing himself as one of those, and therefore he was unable to answer the question. So, continuing in the Gemara, Rav Chonan expounds on this pasuk: "V'hoyu chayecha tluyim loch mineged." Literally, your life will be dangling in front of you. Ze halokech tvua mishana l'shana. This is someone that does not have his own field, his own plot of land that he cultivates and has, that lives with a sense of security that he has for his own wherewithal. But rather, he doesn't have land, and he buys his food supply from year to year. In other words, he buys a supply of wheat and stores it in a silo and draws from that for his sustenance. Upochadeto laila v'yomam. The pasuk describes fear day and night, always in a state of fear. Ze halokech tvua mi'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. This is someone who doesn't have the means of buying a year's supply. He has to buy from week to week. So he's in even a more uncertain state. V'altameh b'chayecha, The pasuk says, and you'll have no trust, no faith in your own life. Zeh ha-soymech al ha-palter. This is someone who buys from a baker. He doesn't even have the means or wherewithal of acquiring or maintaining a supply. He has to buy seemingly on almost a daily basis. So he's described as someone who really doesn't know how he's going to make it from day to day. So, and Rav Bevi says, "Vahu Gavra." The expression is in the third person, but it's referring to himself. "Vahu Gavra." I on myself, on Rav Bevi, al pater somach. I am in the worst shape. I'm one of those that relies on the baker, and I don't have the peace of mind to concentrate on my learning right now. And therefore, I set over a point. You're raising an objection, and I don't have an answer. I can't think about it. The Gemara, though, wants to know, my havi Allah, what's the answer? What's the story with all of this, with regard to quantities of blood and tumas nevela? Omer of Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Moraina de Benesia, Have. Rabbi Yosef tells us that Rabbi Yehuda, Moraina, is someone who issues legal rulings. We call him the posek. He served as the posek of the house of Rebbe. The Ori Le Kishmaitse, and Rabbi Yehuda paskins in accordance with his teaching. So when we had the story with Rabbi Bevi was describing an incident involving the base Rebbe, and there was a calculation made regarding the blood. Well, it just so happens that in the base Rebbe, the posek, the one who issued legal rulings there, was Rabbi Yehuda Rebeloi. He was the Moraina de Benesia, and he taught in accordance with his own teaching, Disnan. And here we have Rabbi Yehuda, who presents these issues. Eventually, we will see that Rabbi Yehuda paskin, that you have to concern yourself with a revius of blood, in accordance with the Beis Hillel approach to this topic. The fact that we saw testimony about the non-threatening nature, threatening in terms of tumah, the non-tumah nature of the blood, that was according to the Beis Shammai approach. But we paskin like Beis Hillel. It's true that in this case Beis Hillel takes a more stringent approach to the matter, which is quite unusual, but that is the case over here. Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shisha Dvora Mikule Beis Shammai Umechumre Beis Hillel. There are six examples of cases where Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stringent, which, as we said, is very unusual, and therefore there are really only six cases like that. One of them is this, Dam Nevelos. We're not going to see all six listed here, but here we talk about one of them, the blood from carcasses. Beis Shammai Metarin, they say that blood from carcasses does not convey tumo, Beis Hillel Metamin. And Beis Hillel says that the blood of carcasses is capable of imparting tumas nevelos. Om Rabbi Yosi Bribido, Av Kishitimu Beis Hillel, even when Beis Hillel declared the blood to be capable of transmitting tumas nevela, lo timu elo birevius. The quantity must be that of a revius. That's a name of a liquid quantity. And why specifically that amount? Hoyo v'yochel likroish v'lamod al kezayis. That's because when a revius, which is a liquid quantity, coagulates, it coagulates and condenses into a kezias of solid material, and a kezias, an olive quantity, is in fact the shiur for tumas nevelos. So the liquid quantity of blood is associated with the dry olive measure, olive quantity of nevela meat, which is known to convey tumas nevela, and hence that the revius amount of blood is to be avoided if one wants to avoid tumah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.